I'd like to talk this morning about giving away beauty. Giving away beauty. When Becca was a little girl, one of her favorite stories, and that's my granddaughter that's now about that tall now instead of that tall, but I had the privilege every morning to sit with her, and we would do what I do with Lily now, watch cartoons and all the things. But I remember she enjoyed the story of Cinderella. I think every little girl, you know, that's kind of a dream. The prince, you know, Prince Charming, if you will. It wasn't Prince Charming, but it was the prince. I think she had envisioned her dad, you know, as the prince. But there was that, yeah, and you know, all the transformation, you know, the glass slippers, you know how the story goes. And that was one of those things that she just really, she really loved as a little girl. And now, guys, I'm not leaving us out either. You know, we all kind of gear ourselves towards maybe it's not Cinderella, but we like Cinderella stories in the sense of sports. We like Cinderella teams. They come along and they do something they haven't done before. And nobody ever expected the Aggies to beat Alabama. Amen. You know, they did that back in 2012, too. You know, that's kind of a shocking thing. That's kind of a Cinderella story like that. Or like the Bears, if you got to reach way back, almost 50 years ago, Baylor finally beat Texas. It was something. I mean, it was a shocking endeavor for sure back 1974, 34-24. Never forget, I stood there in the rain and watched that thing transpire. But there's always those kind of things, always kind of stories that we gravitate towards, we gear ourselves up on, but there is not a story, there is an event that took place in the Gospel of John. And it's John chapter 19, and I want to pick it up at verse number 16. John 19, beginning at verse 16. Because it's something that is so important that I think we cannot walk away from it. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. This week has been a unique week for me. It's been a week of... I'm not going to say trial. I think it's been a week of open your eyes. You know, preachers get there. We're always doing, we're always going, we're always studying this, we're always saying that, and sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we lose focus on what is the most important thing. We can see, we understand, we can read a scripture like this, and we know the story, we know all those kind of things. But God made a statement to me this week, and it came out of Jeremiah chapter 2. He simply said, I remember the kindness of your youth. And I had to stop and think about that. I remember the kindness of your youth. And I thought, are you saying that I don't have that today? And that's kind of what he was saying. He was saying that you're busy serving, you're busy doing, you're doing all those things, but I remember the kindness when you were first saved in your youth. I remember the things that you did. And he asked the question, what have you done this week that would make my reputation even better? What kind of life have you lived this past week? I think God is saying to the church today, you know, a couple weeks ago I brought to you the message on Ephesians from Revelation chapter 3, and we talked about how the church at Ephesus really struggled. The one thing that they had forgotten was their first love. They did everything great, but they had left their first love. But God gave them great encouragement that repent of what you're doing, get back to doing what you should be doing. That's a message to the church. But there was another message that he also left the church in the seventh church that was brought up during those times. And we know that church is the church of the Laodiceans. We know that they were busy. They were doing all kinds of things except the thing that was the most important. They were not so cold that God could speak to them through the Holy Spirit for they would be saved. They weren't hot where God could use them. They were simply in between. And I think I see that as the church pretty much today. We sit in between of what God really wants to do and how he can use us. And so I think that God is saying, and it was a statement that was made to me in the reading that I was doing. You're not in love with me now, but I remember the time when you were. All of us know that in a relationship that there comes that time. We get careless, we get busy, we forget what is important, how we conduct our lives, how we live around each other. But I think that's why God is asking me, and I'm asking you, is the extravagance of our love still that strong for Christ? Are we today stronger than what we were in the beginning when Jesus saved us? Do we do everything that we know we should do? You know, in that day, we did everything. We wanted to be pleasing in his sight and all those things. But unfortunately, I think now we're here. For some, many years, decades have been removed since the day Jesus Christ saved our hearts. Can he still count on us? Are we still receptive? Are we still clay that can still be molded in the hands of the potter? Are we those kind of people? I chose this passage because I think that expresses so much of who Christ is and who we should be. You say, well, how did you get all of that out of that? Because we see God. He's between two thieves. And the thing about it, that's where he wants to be. He wants to be right there. Three men, three crosses. It's a scene that's well known. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to be someone that you know, names the name of Jesus Christ as a person to know the story. We know how Jesus was crucified. Every preacher's looked at this passage. We've studied it. We have our perspective. I hope it's God's perspective. But one day I stood at Golgotha. I had that privilege. And I stood from a little higher point than what would have been normal for some that would have been down here, because actually the skull would have been behind the crosses. This was the common place where Rome killed different people, put them on crosses. But I got thinking about, why do we keep looking at things like that from our viewpoint, from the ground, and we look up at it? I wonder what it would be like to look at it from God's viewpoint. I wonder how God saw this time, right? What does God see in our lives? What did God see that day? What did he see when, from heaven's perspective? You know, I think that's something we need to talk about. I mean, did God see the crosses? Did God see the nails? Was God aware of the torn flesh, the spilt blood? Was he aware of all the things? Could heaven hear the mallet as it drove the nails through the wrist? Could he hear the screams of agony coming from those men that day, from his son that day? We know that he did. We know that he hears everything. He sees everything. He knew exactly what was going on that day to his son. He saw his son surrounded by sin. He's set in between two thieves that were covered with sin. And there, the perfect one hung before him. He saw the shadows that hung over those two thieves' hearts. Shadows that had never been penetrated. He watched crowds as they witnessed a horrific crucifixions. And it became something that was very common in that day. But it was still bloody, and it was all those, and the horrors of all of that. But heaven was not crying over all the physical blood that was being spilled. They were crying over the darkness that was over the hearts of those two men. That's what I think they were seeing. You know, earth, us, each one of us, we pity when we see tragic things take place. We pity when war takes place. We pity when people slaughter other people for no apparent reason at all. We watch the bodies being killed and piled up. But heaven weeps over the condition of souls that go off into eternity, but without the very beauty of the one that hung on the center cross. You know, I just wonder sometimes if we could understand that. I wonder if we could understand the impact that our sin has on heaven. I wonder how God looks upon us. Oh, I know we're saved by the blood of Christ. I understand that. But even those that were saved, the church of the Laodiceans, God said, man, you guys, I'm going to puke you. I'm going to vomit you out. That's how I feel about what you have. You see, their acts, the things that they were doing, was not just distaste. It was disgusting to God. He could have done something with that church, but they wouldn't let him. They already had a program. They had religion. They were doing something. I don't know about you, but have you ever witnessed anything that just is, just really, a human act that really makes you want to just vomit? You've seen something, and I think all of us have. When I was a young man, I was in my 20s, a friend and I were going from where I lived in Hewitt on First Street, we were going into the Y to play some racquetball. And we were coming down towards Bagby, Sun Valley, and that's the day Bagby was a two-lane, partially gravel, partially paved. Now it's a four-lane, beautiful road, but it wasn't in that day. And we saw a glow up on the next hill, straight ahead. Instead of turning, going to the interstate, we went on out back. Wanted to see what that was. Well, the closer we got, we realized it was a car wreck. A young man had, I guess, was checking out his driving skills, and when he came into a little curve that was there in the road in that day, he lost it, slid, cut a telephone pole in half. And now his car was out in this field on fire. My friend and I jumped out frantically looking for bodies. We said it had to be. We couldn't see anybody. The roof was cut off the top of the car. You know, it was bumped up like this, and we couldn't find anybody. We're looking everywhere for bodies, trying to figure out what has happened here. Until the fire was beginning to come up even more around the car, and I could see the silhouette of a young man, still in a seatbelt, still in the middle of the fire, trapped. He was out. We came to the car, got up on the car, cut the seatbelt off, drug a body off a car that the bottom half was gone, pretty much. And found out very quickly, the young man's name, I'll never forget, Jeffrey Smallwood. Never forget his name, even though that's been 45 years ago. But it was tragic. It was sickening. It was everything that you do not want to see. It's everything that would make you sick at your stomach. And then you see something that in the Word of God like this, and you wonder, what does God feel? How does God see this? He sees his law broken. He sees his child abused. He sees all of these things. He sees today his word ignored as if it doesn't count anything. His holiness is being insulted by the very ones that claim everything, but feel like, well, I can't do this. You know, it's not a question, you know, that God can overlook sin. That's not the question. It's the real question is, how in the world could he ever forgive? Why would he? Why would he do the very things that he does? So it's really not about it. It's not about whether, you know, God finds it difficult. I just look at it and said, I find it impossible. How is it even possible that God would forgive us? You see, God's perspective is totally different than ours. Thank the Lord for grace, for mercy, all the things that he has. It's never been a tragedy about men dying. The tragedy has been at their death, they go off into eternity with unrepented sin. That's a tragedy. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. We will die. But we don't have to die in a hostile environment with God. We don't have to die being defiant of his truth. We don't have to die resisting the call that he places out through the precious Holy Spirit to every heart. And he calls out to every one of us at all times saying, look, you need to sharpen this deal. You need to pick it up a little bit. You need to come back the way you did. Because I remember the kindness of your youth. I remember, do you remember the sacrifice that I have made? Paul stated it well in the 8th chapter of Romans. He made the statement, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. No, no, can't do it. It's right there. It's right in front of us. When our thinking is controlled by self, we have to realize it's sinful. It's sinful self. That's exactly what it is. And those that are controlled by that, well, they're desolate. They're against God. Sin is not an unfortunate step. It's not that. Sin is something totally different than that. It's not some regrettable act that you might have pulled off. What you're saying is that it's defiance against a holy God. It knows what God says, don't do this, and we do it anyway. That's what sin is. You know better, and we do it anyway. Well, that's under the blood, everything. Yeah, it is. Praise God, it is under the blood. But does God expect us to keep going that path? Is that what makes, would that make God happy? You know, the figure on that center cross, it had no shadow of sin over it. It was pure, it was holy. In Hebrews chapter 4, the statement is made in the 15th verse that, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So there's no excuse to say, well, he didn't know. Oh, yeah, he did. He had never experienced what I have. Yes, he did. But he was still sinless. He was stainless. He was all of those things. Even hanging on a sinner's cross, and that's exactly what they called it, Jesus' holiness illuminated all of heaven and anybody around. The first criminal, he reads the sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That was the sign above it. Even though the Jews derailed and yelled at Pilate, said, you can't do that. He listened. Not only did he read the sign, but he heard the prayers. He heard the very voice of Christ on that cross. He was convinced, this is more than a carpenter. I'm in the presence of a king. The other crook, criminal, thief, insurrectionist, whatever you want to call him, whatever you think that he might. In Luke's gospel, he says in the 23rd chapter that he spoke this word. Well, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? If you are, get down off this cross and get us down too. We know how that went over. We know how that the response to that was no response to that. But I love the other part about that. Even though the shadow of sin, it was just so thick that even in his pain, even in the being crucified, he still mocked God. suddenly someone says, you should fear God. Where'd that voice come from? It came from the criminal over here. He said to his friend across the way, we deserve what we're getting. We knew what we were doing. We deserve it. This man has done nothing. He is totally innocent. You remember what he said? You remember how he replied that to him? He's done no wrong. He recognized that very thing. Finally, somebody's defending Jesus. Finally, somebody's saying something. Where's Peter? Well, Peter took a hike. All the disciples were hid. All the Jews, well, they're accusing him. Pilate had washed his hands, said, I don't have anything more to do with this deal. I mean, come on. Many people could have stood up and said something positive towards Jesus Christ, but they chose not to. They chose not to say anything. And now we hear the kindest words coming from a thief. We hear someone that says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember that? From a thief. I mean, said right. And what did he say? Of a truth. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Man, what a crazy conversation. Can you imagine hearing that? There's a thief on one side and a guy on the other side in the center, and he's being crucified, and they're about to end their lives. And what are they talking about? They're talking about eternity. Could you imagine what heaven might be thinking? I mean, the angels stand around looking at each other going, hey, man, how's a thief going to get to come here? Why are we going to let a thief in this place? You know what he did. You know everything about it. How can we let somebody in whose sin so speckles all over them? How can we let somebody that's defiled like that into heaven? How could that be done? Well, there was a good answer to it. The man on the center cross took the sins of that thief and all of us thieves, all of ours, and he took it away and he placed it on himself. He took our sins and he placed it on himself. First it was specks. Then soon we realized it's more than specks. Pretty soon it was big flakes. Pretty soon it just all was coming off in layers. And it was placed all over Jesus. Every evil thought, every ounce of greed, every evil, vile deed that he ever did, every curse word that he ever spoke, all the things that we are and have evil thoughts, everything, all placed on Jesus. No wonder God was nauseous. And no wonder today, I wonder if he's not somewhat that today. If he has that same feeling today. In an instant, the purity of Jesus Christ lifts and covers the thief. Not like putting a coat around him. It went from the inside and completely radiated out of his body. Sinless. That's what the thief got. Here was one that was sin-filled who now is perfect. And the one that was sinless has taken all of it on himself. That's bizarre. I mean, it really is. Paul would answer that in Galatians chapter 3, and he makes a statement, verse 13. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You see, that's what sin is. God has to deal with sin. We call it punishment, judgment, whatever you want to call it. He either has to judge and punish, or he has to assume it himself. And that's what he did. He took it himself. He took our sins and placed it on himself that we might be redeemed. I know what John 19, I read it to us this morning. I know it says that Jesus bore his cross as he went to towards Calvary. I know that's what it says, but in reality, I think it's more like Jesus bore our cross to Calvary. I think Jesus, yes, there was a wooden beam, a cross, but that was our cross. It's who we are and who we were. It's what God is saying right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the statement is made. God was, in verse 19, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, not giving us what we deserve, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He was carrying a cross. We can't carry it. He had to carry it. He carries the cross for thieves. He carries the cross for crooks. He carries the cross for televangelists. I just want to see if you guys are awake. In verse 21 of that same chapter, he makes the statement, for he hath made him to be the sins for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A poet would write, it was not his death he died, it was ours. It wasn't his sin he became, it was ours. And it's so true. Let me finish. Years ago, I heard a story, and it's secondhand, I must admit, maybe third hand, maybe fourth hand, I don't know. I just know that it was something that is true, and it really, really took place, and I think it's worth sharing. It happened in Disney World, of all places. Everything, you know, so exciting in Disney World. But this man made the statement that he saw something that he would never forget. You know, I know there's a lot of fantastic things they say happens at Disney World. But he related this story, and he said that it took place at Cinderella's castle. There they were, packed in, kids and parents everywhere. I mean, a massive crowd. And then across the room, she comes in. He said that she was a perfect typecast. Young girl, very beautiful, perfect complexion, radiant smile, all those things. And instantly, the moment she enters in, here comes all the kids. I mean, man, whoo, they're flooding over there. All they want is to touch her she touched them. You know, they wanted to be right there with Cinderella. It was a great thing. He said, man, it was just unbelievable. You know, the kids are going to get everything they were looking for. He said, but when they flooded this way, I just happened to look that way. And there was a small boy, 7, 8 years old, standing there. And taking one look at him, he knew that there was things that were wrong. He was dwarfed in height. His face was, if you might say, was deformed. Wasn't the type of child that you would see out bouncing through the playground. He stood there watching as he held his older brother's hand. He just stood there. He wanted to be like every other child. He wanted to run to her. But it was written all over him that he couldn't. Oh, not that he couldn't run. Not that he couldn't move, not that he couldn't do anything. All he was wanting was a smile. Just a look. But there was a fear of rejection written all over his face. There was that thing that bothered him so much that he'd heard over and over, being taunted for how he looked, being rejected, mocked again. And he just stood there, paralyzed. So the man said to himself, said, don't you just wish that Cinderella would go over to him? And he said, and all of a sudden, she did. She found her way through all of those kids, not pushing them aside, but just very quickly, crossed the open room to that little boy. She knelt down face to face and kissed him on the face. What do you say to that? I mean, it's absolutely incredible. He was stunned, as everyone else was. But you look at the story that we just read today. We think about what took place. They're both, you know, they're different, but the story's still about the same in very ways. I mean, you know, we're not talking about a princess out of Disney World. We're not talking about a fairy tale. We're talking about the Prince of Peace. That's what we're talking about. Not a little boy in a castle. We're talking about a thief on a cross. We're talking about, in both cases, a gift was given. Both of them, love was shared. One was very lonely and dejected, and love was given that way. There was a gesture that went way beyond words to change lives. Now, of course, Jesus did more than Cinderella at Disney World. Cinderella knelt, kissed this little boy, and as she stood, she took her beauty with her when she left. Could you imagine if it had been different? Could you imagine if Cinderella would have said, you know, somehow, I don't know how it ever happened that way, but that Cinderella would have exchanged her beauty and her wholeness with that little boy, took on him in her body, gave her body to him. I'm sure that, you know, doesn't happen that way. They might make that up somewhere down the line, but she never took that disfigurement. Isaiah would tell us in the 53rd chapter, verse number 4, he said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." Jesus was described as that one that took upon himself all the deformity of humanity and gave us back perfection. It was more than a kiss that Jesus gave. He gave away his beauty. He paid more than a visit. Even though he came into this world, he paid for our mess ups, our mistakes. He took more than a minute. He took away our sins. He did all of these things. I think Cinderella's story is a great story. I like that story. I love sharing it with my grandkids, with the kids, and you know, but it's fantasy. Jesus Christ is reality that every child needs. They need to hear how he gave away his beauty for each one of us. God's perfect gift was given to you and to me. So how is God looking at us today? What does God see when he looks upon each one of us today? I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not questioning salvation. I'm not doing that. I'm simply saying to each one of us, as Jeremiah recorded, "I remember the kindness of thy youth." I remember what was written when it said that God was saying to his people, not to the heathen, to his people, to the church, to Christians, "You're not in love with me now, but I remember a time when you were." Are we still in love with him? Of all places, people, we should be the ones that are being in love with him. We should still find him to be the very thing that we want so badly that we would never exchange anything for him. Are we those people? Are we the kind of people that have received this beauty and still honor it? Or have we kind of slipped? The church at Ephesus, They left their first love. But God loved them enough to say, my mercy and my grace is sufficient. Repent. Come back to me. The church of the Laodiceans thought they had it all together. Never bowed a knee. Never thought they were guilty of anything. Thought everything was really cool. And God said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Seven churches, only one, God didn't have to say anything of condemnation. But that was only one. Where are we? Here God is giving away his beauty, the beauty of his holiness. Where are we? If we're not where we're supposed to be, tell him. Seek forgiveness. Ask him to forgive you. If you're not all that you think that you were at one time with him, and I know I wasn't, I know I haven't. But like I said, this has been a hard week, seeing yourself as you really are. And I had that privilege, but I also had the humiliation that came with it. I had to realize that I was not everything God wanted me to be. And I hope and pray his mercy will endure and he will be kind to me. I know what I deserve, but he started the work in me and he will continue it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I believe that he's going to do that. Are you what you're supposed to be? If you're not, if you think you're waning, if you think there's some things that you might need to get worked out, do it. Do it now. There's no reason to leave here without the Spirit of God cleansing, encouraging, helping every heart. He is faithful. He loves us. His mercy, it's everywhere. We just need to ask him. Be that in my life today.